This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. SNR. Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome to The Drive. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. And Matt, it is schedule release day. We obviously don't have the schedule yet as we do the show here, but we do know the Steelers open the season in Buffalo against the Bills in week one.
Yeah.
We'll find out the rest of the schedule later on this evening. Well, of course, you, myself, and Mike Pursuta will do a special show to talk about
the schedule release. Big extravaganza.
Right. We know the opponents. It's just a matter of how they're going to fall. And that matters.
I just saw that they announced the Thanksgiving games. Steelers are not playing Thanksgiving.
They're not playing overseas. The London games have been announced. Okay. The opponents for those have been announced. I think it's the Jets and Dolphins and Jaguars and...
I'm not certain. I can't remember.
Yeah.
They always go. Right.
So maybe next year for the Steelers.
Yeah. I know you enjoyed that trip.
I think next year, next year, you don't have any choice on whether you go. Everybody has to go as part of the new TV deal.
Yeah, and so, it's about their time, huh?
It is about their time. The Packers have never gone overseas. The Steelers have gone once.
Quick question for you. Now if there's 17 games, would that be the 17th game?
The 17th game?
Would that be the extra game? Would that be the NFC opponent?
But yeah, there's potential for that. They didn't do that this year because they had the Dolphins and Jets, or the two division opponents.
Right.
But they could, and that's the one way.
You could still have 8 home games then.
Yeah, because next year in 2022, the Steelers will have 8 home games and 9 road games. Mm-hmm. So there's a better chance that they go overseas next year because they play.
You'd rather go
the extra
on the
road game.
The road game year.
Yeah,
I would imagine. Right, because you've got 8 home games. No matter, they're not going to steal one of your 8 home games. I would imagine.
Right,
and give you really. 10 road games.
That would work out really well for me because I've had to postpone. My wife and I were going to go to London now 2 years in a row for our anniversary and have had to postpone it both times. I did set up the trip for next year again.
Mm-hmm.
But if that happened, I would end up going to London twice in a year.
I guess there's worse places to go. But it sounds like that's a possibility. We do know the Bills are week one. The schedule's hard.
They'll play a division opponent in week 18, last week of the season.
That final game will be a
division opponent.
Okay. So I like that the league does that. I think there's a better chance.
They announced the Christmas Day games as well, and the Browns have to play in Green Bay on Christmas Day. They've never played a Christmas Day game before.
Okay.
This is the thing, and Bob Labriola mentioned this a couple years ago with us on the air when we were talking to him, and he brought up, and it was a valid point. Like, it's easy. You get an easier schedule, obviously, on opponents when you finish poorly in your division.
Yeah, it used to just be 2 games difference, now 3.
But once you get yourself, the Browns were a playoff team last year. Well, now you're getting more of those primetime games. You're getting more of these. Okay, how do you respond to that? How do you respond to playing in Green Bay on Christmas Day?
Yeah, no, you're right. Do we know the Christmas games?
I think they announced all that stuff.
That's actually the only thing my wife cares about. I mentioned to her.
Yeah, the Steelers are not one of them. So
okay, that's all she wants. As long as there's not a Steeler game on Christmas Day, I'm happy.
It's Jets Falcons, by the way. Jets Falcons are one game in London, and Dolphins and Jaguars is the other one. So it's not a division game. It's just two AFC East teams.
I gotcha. What else was I going to say? I don't know. Something good. Oh, yeah. We were talking about, when you're the hunted or you play all those primetime games, that's very difficult. Warren Sharp does a bunch of work on this of what teams over the years have gotten the least rest.
Yeah,
and
you sent me that, and I look – every time I look at the charts that he puts out, it makes my head hurt.
It was a little discombobulating. I sent it to you in Pursuta before I even read it. I've read them before. It's something he charts, and then I just kind of gave it up. But –
I just look at the rankings, okay? Where do you rank at? I don't want to get into the whole...
There's a lot of green and red.
I don't need to know how the cake was made.
Right, exactly, Just eat the sausage or the hot dog. I don't care how it was made. But to your point, the good teams have it rougher, you know.
Without a doubt.
And then there's teams like the Steelers and
Dallas. Cowboys and Packers.
Yeah.
That have a national fall. Even if they're bad,
they're going to get tough games too. And the Browns weren't really in that category when they were bad. But now they certainly are as a draw. You know, I mean, going to Green Bay on Christmas.
I mean, they're opening in Kansas City.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
If you looked at I did a quick look at the – I can't remember who Cincinnati plays, but they have a tough game as well.
Uh-huh.
It wouldn't surprise me if the entire AFC North – loses in week one.
I don't know who everybody.
The Ravens are at. The Ravens open in Las Vegas.
That's a tough one
for a Monday night game.
Yeah, right. I knew they were a Monday nighter. Not exactly. The Steelers were a Monday nighter to start last season.
Yeah,
I don't like that. You know, because you get a short week right off the bat, and you got to, you know, you have all that time before, but you don't have time for your second opponent so much.
Yeah,
I don't like.
Well, here's the week one schedule. So we know Dallas is at Tampa Bay to open the season.
They're a Thursday night.
Yeah. Okay, then the Steelers and Bills at 1 o'clock, Jets and Panthers at 1 o'clock, Seahawks at Colts at 1 o'clock. That's a marquee game. Chargers at Washington at 1 o'clock. That's a sneaky good game. Yeah.
There's a lot of buzz around the Chargers right now.
49ers at Detroit.
Okay.
Cardinals at Titans. Interesting game.
Titans, yeah.
Eagles at Falcons.
Not bad.
Vikings at Bengals.
That's a tough game for Tennessee.
There'll be a dog in that game.
Jaguars at Texans in the Stinky Bowl. Browns.
It's the Browns are at Kansas City for a 4:25 start. Okay. I thought that was a night game, but it's still the prime time game. Packers at Saints.
Mm-hmm.
Dolphins at Patriots.
Right off the bat, it's a good one.
Broncos at Giants. The Sunday night game is Bears at Rams.
Gotcha.
And then the Monday night game is Ravens at Raiders.
Interesting. No, you're right. I mean, the division could be 0-4.
Yeah.
I mean, it's certainly possible. I know the lines came out. The Steelers are about a touchdown dog at this stage, and I'm sure those things will change a lot. What's interesting, though, is like when you read those things off, they all sound like good games. First of all, because I haven't seen football in a while. You know, I'd love to watch. I mean, Houston,
any of the, yeah,
Houston,
give me
Jags,
eight or nine of those. I'll sit and watch that.
Right. You know, and you're so excited to see Trevor Lawrence in that game, even though that's the worst game on the slate. But it also goes back to my theory of this time of year, from the draft until this is the best your team's ever going to look. You know, I mean, I go on my soapbox every year. As soon as that draft ends until really preseason or so, it's all, boy, all these guys are going to come back from injury and be great. You know, all your rookies are filling holes and going to be great players.
Unless the Browns cut Joe Hayden, you're not getting any kind of gift.
I mean, you might add, I mean, we've seen a couple things, Fisher and Leno and a couple of these guys. There's a couple more of those type of things. But this is the eternal optimism time, basically from May to through July. You know, nothing bad happens to your team. Nobody gets hurt. You know, so all those games sound great, but even by week one, a handful of big guys will be out already. You know, there will be some preseason injuries and things. There's a lot of bad things that happen between now and opening day.
Yeah, that's for sure. And so that's the opening slate of the season. Should be interesting. I'm looking forward to it a lot. I know Steeler fans, I keep hearing, well, they have the toughest schedule. You don't know that. I don't care what teams did last year.
No.
You know, for example, if you've got Dallas on your schedule this year.
Right.
They're a completely different football team.
Right.
If Aaron Rodgers doesn't play in 2021,
the Packers are much different.
Yeah, are they, you know, right, a world beater? No.
I mean, even Houston's a great example.
Right.
They weren't, you know, good last year, but they're a lot harder to play against than they are this year, assuming, you know, with Watson. No, you're right. And not to mention, too, like, if this was a year ago and you have Dallas on your schedule, okay, that looks like a tough game. And then Dak gets hurt in week two or three or whatever. Or Saquon gets hurt versus the Steelers. All of a sudden, the Giants' offense does look the same. You know, you don't know what version of those teams you're going to get.
Right. We don't know what, you know, everybody's assuming that Indianapolis is going to be good this year.
Well, what Wentz is
going to
be.
It's a pretty big assumption. I mean, I don't know what Carson Wentz is going to look like. I know last time we saw him, he was getting yanked in Philadelphia.
Yeah, and they have two very young guys behind him. They have no veteran presence there if he doesn't work out or – he's been injured quite a bit, too. Yeah. What if he gets hurt or misses a couple
games? I mean, how are things going to play out in Washington? Is Ryan Fitzpatrick is he the answer at quarterback for them, at least for this year? I mean, I know the defense is going to be good.
No, right.
But,
you know, like, it, interesting. I mean, I think it's better than last year's quarterback situation, but it's not like he's had this stellar career.
Yeah. No,
right.
The 49ers are another perfect example. 2 years ago, mm-hmm. they're in the Super Bowl. Last year, because of, you know, they had just a spate of injuries, mm-hmm. and they were the last place team in that division.
Yeah, I mean, teams like them in Chicago, who's going to be their starter, or New England, who's going to be your starter when you line up against those
right.
guys? I mean, is the first-round pick in by now, or are they rolling with the Cams and Daltons and Jimmys or whatever? I do think, you know, going back to the week one opponent for the Steelers, I think you have a pretty good idea what you're getting from the Bills, though,
yeah.
which I don't love. I would much rather have a team in week one that has a new coach, new quarterback, working out the kinks. There's not going to be a lot of kinks with the Bills.
You know? No, but by the same token, again, you know who they are.
You know who you are.
Yeah. And you played them late last year. So you have, okay, so there's some, maybe a little bit of carryover there.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to spend time working on that opponent. I think for the Bills, the Steelers are more of a mystery this year.
Especially offensively.
Offensively, yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
You keep hearing, oh, you know, more zone, more, you know, okay, are they going to do zone?
We're talking about that.
You don't know.
Yeah.
And they're not, it's not like they're going to, you know, throw the whole playbook out there in the preseason. They got
no,
a new offensive
they'll
coordinator.
They'll practice some things, but they're not going to show their hand. You know, right.
Are they going to be exclusively a zone running team? Are they going to mix in the zone mm-hmm. and power running team? Because that's what Najee Harris did at Alabama. I mean, it was 50-50 almost, split between his zone carries and his power carries.
Yeah. I mean, you dedicate a first-round pick to a guy like Najee, and, you know, you think, well, are they going to cater things to him? Or he really does everything well, though.
Right.
You know, I mean, if it was ATN, I think it'd be a little different. You know, but how much pre-snap motion are you going to get from Canada? Is Ben going to be in the shotgun exclusively or behind? I mean, like, you know, there'd be pistol. And your point of those guys playing recently by NFL standards, I'm sure both coaching staffs are like, man, I should have done this different. It's
oh,
the
yeah.
case of Eddie game.
Yeah.
You know, like if we played them the next week, I wouldn't have done this. I wouldn't have done that.
It goes back to that, what you talk about all the time with, you know, playing a team a third time.
Yeah, right.
You know, there's always things that you learn, tendencies and things of that nature that there's no hiding anything there.
A common misconception with the fans is the teams change dramatically throughout the year. I mean, a week is not a very long time to install a game plan. I mean, you do what you do.
You get three practices.
You get three practices to add some wrinkles and some audibles and things like that. But you get a pretty good feel for what these teams are trying to accomplish, you know, a couple games in, because you can't just scrap it all and start over week to week.
No.
Right?
You know, it just doesn't work that way. You know, that's why I think when you look at New England, I mean, they're going to have to make a decision on who they want at quarterback.
Early.
Because what they're going to run for Cam Newton is not what they're going to run for Mac Jones.
No, especially the run game stuff.
It's almost the exact opposite of what Baltimore did a couple years ago when they went to Lamar Jackson. You're going from the mobile quarterback to the passing quarterback, mm-hmm. where Baltimore was going from the passing quarterback, the guy who's going to be in the pocket, to the more mobile guy. I think that's the easier transition because he can always use his legs.
Right. That's a good point. It probably would be the easier transition because that's the beauty and that's the scare of Mac Jones.
Make this read, and if it doesn't work, take off.
Yeah, especially with a Lamar. You know, I mean, no one's seen what your legs can do. You're bursting on the scene. They've been watching Flacco tape all year. You know, New England will be really interesting because they are so different. I would imagine you build a Mac Jones offense now.
Yeah.
You know, and Cam, you run it, and if you're the starter, we'll incorporate a lot of quarterback runs that we won't call for Mac. But I would think we want this to be a Mac Jones-friendly, you know, playbook all in all at this point. And really, San Francisco is pretty different, too.
Chicago's going to be in that same boat.
Yeah, right, right.
I mean, you know,
very much so.
Justin Fields is completely different than anything else they've got.
Yeah.
I mean,
Dalton and Fields are night and day. I mean, not to the extreme in New England.
I don't know that we've ever seen anything so many situations like that.
Yeah, three big ones right off the bat with first-round picks. You know the first-round pick's going to play.
At some point, yeah.
I don't know if they'll be opening day starters,
yeah.
but they're going to play this year. All three of those guys, no one's going to sit the whole year. That never happens.
I mean, you look at what Philadelphia did last year when they made the switch from Wentz
mm-hmm.
to Hurts. Now, Wentz is more mobile than
most.
And he's certainly more mobile than...
It's not Flacco to Lamar.
It's not Andy Dalton or these guys.
Jimmy
But their offense was much different based on what the quarterback could do.
No, you're 100% right. I mean, again, that brings me back to Buffalo. you're going to know what they're going to do.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah, they've added a couple pieces. They've got some linemen. I'm sure they have wrinkles that they're working on like everybody else. But they're not going to change things for Josh Allen. I mean, Allen's entrenched there, and they built everything around him. You know?
Yeah. So it should be interesting. And you know, I think people need to remember that the Steelers were missing some key pieces in that game against Buffalo last year. And they were in that game well into the third quarter. I mean, they were they actually outplayed the Bills in the first half of that game.
I thought the first half they were the better team.
Yeah. And then, you know, the interception at the end of the half kind of changed the whole complexion.
Brutal.
Gave the Bills a free seven, first of all. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, all of a sudden, hey, they remembered we got at halftime, we got Stephon Diggs. And they came out and made a point of getting the ball to Stephon Diggs.
You get these vibes that, or these rumblings that they want to have a little bit more of a traditional run game, you know, run the ball a little bit more. They didn't bring in any backs of note, but they reinforced their offensive line a little bit. I would think at this stage of Allen's career, and this is true for all athletic quarterbacks, by about now, Josh, you're too valuable. We're about to pay you an awful lot. I'm not sure.
These designed runs and you carrying the football at the goal line and things of that nature.
I'm not sure we need that as much out of you.
He took
takes some hits too.
I remember watching the playoffs a couple times, going, "Man, you're really playing with fire there to allow that guy to get hit like that."
Mm-hmm.
You know, all it takes is somebody holding him up while he's fighting for yards, and somebody comes in and
they're going to take,
because he's a runner at that point.
He's huge, you know. I mean,
you know, he's
big
not
target,
he doesn't
right.
get protections as a quarterback gets in those situations.
You don't. I mean, Cam Newton dealt with a lot of that early on, obviously. Early in his career, I mean, none of us, especially you and I, we didn't see his breakout coming last year. I mean, no one changed more from 2019 to 20 than Josh Allen. But 2019 and back, okay, you're going to take a bunch of hits. You're not that good. You know? I mean, that's the best thing you do anyway. You know, now you're like, you're the face of this team, and we're about to make you one of the richest players in the league. We might need to hand it off to Zach Moss a little bit more.
Yeah, that's why we drafted these guys.
Yeah. Moss is one of my fantasy sleepers, by the way. I don't think Singletary is any good. And we both kind of like Moss coming out last year through a Steelers lens.
Right.
You know, I think you get him cheap, and he can be a decent player for them.
Yeah, so it should be interesting. I did notice here on to get back to ESPN put out a piece today. It said, answering 2021's NFL draft's biggest question. Expert debate their favorite picks, top rookie classes, quarterbacks, and more.
Hmm.
And the first question on here is, who's your pick for offensive rookie of the year?
Okay.
They got different guys here. Matt Bowen picked Ja'Marr Chase.
Rarely goes to a receiver.
Justin
Jefferson didn't get it, and he was the best receiver in rookie history.
Mike Clay picked Najee Harris.
Okay.
Jeremy Fowler took Jalen Waddell.
That's a stretch for me.
I don't see that.
I don't even know if he leads his team in receptions.
Kevin Seifert took Justin Fields.
Understandable. I just wonder when he'll get in.
Yeah. Seth Walter took Trevor Lawrence.
Went with the low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, he's the
favorite.
How
many games do they win?
And Field Yates went with Najee Harris.
I know the Vegas odds are out, and they favor quarterbacks, of course.
The only guy mentioned on there twice was Najee Harris.
He would be my pick pound for pound. Javonte Williams to me is interesting. I don't think it's going to take him long to go past Gordon, the more I think about it. And they traded up, and I even heard talks.
There's potential there, but you know, if he doesn't break into the starting, like let's say they open a season sharing carries, and it's that
if
way.
If it takes a month for
it's that way for the first six games. He's not going to be
worth it. Right. I don't know that ATN has a chance to even be a full-time guy.
No.
Sermon's a long shot as a full-time
guy.
He'll have games.
Yeah, but right. I wouldn't expect it, you know, him to have 1,600 yards.
No, I don't think he'll take over that backfield if
they just don't do it
history
that way.
Has told us anything. Yeah, I mean, non-quarterbacks, Harris to me is the easy choice.
Yeah.
And he has some good receivers.
And yet his odds are like fifth or sixth best among that group, which is –
very surprising.
It makes him a really good bet with the, you know, you want to throw a couple of shekels down on something.
Yeah, right.
You get a good return.
I mean, I'm sure in the betting world, betting on running backs is a little dangerous because, you know, what's the chances? There's a less chance they play 16 games than quarterbacks.
17 now.
17, yeah.
Yeah.
But a lot of these quarterbacks, besides Lawrence, to our earlier point, might not be opening day starters.
And Lawrence, to me, what's he have around him?
No, I mean, it might take a while. There's going to be some lumps there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the division is
Peyton
not real
Manning
hard,
struggled. But Troy Aikman struggled. Yeah. I mean, there's a long history of quarterbacks in their rookie seasons, just especially when they're on a bad team.
Right. I mean, if they're 4-13, is he going to win Rookie of the Year? Even if he's good.
Yeah.
You know, like, say Burrow stays healthy all last year. He was pretty good. You know, didn't have a lot around him.
Yeah.
That's not a Rookie of the Year performance. That wouldn't have beat Justin Jefferson.
And there was still a reason why he couldn't stay healthy, because they're dropping him back to pass 50 times a game behind a bad offensive line.
That's the problem.
They got him killed.
It's through too often.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, yes, the line was a problem, and then Mixon was out too. I mean, asking a quarterback to throw 50, 60 times a game as a rookie is a bad recipe. Bad recipe.
It really is.
Which brings me to a Steeler note, actually. You know, if you can establish a running game this year, that next quarterback next year shouldn't be in that situation.
Right.
You know, you really don't want – if the Steelers are going with a young quarterback next year, you don't want to put him in a situation where he's throwing 40-plus times a game.
Right.
It's just not a good
recipe for success.
No.
Their next question was, which rookie team or which rookie class will make the biggest impact in 2021?
Hmm.
This was interesting because I don't know if I agree. First, Bowen says the Jets. Okay, they may make an impact, but is anybody going to notice?
Right. I mean, how much will they impact the league?
Yeah.
I mean, they'll impact a bad roster.
I mean, yeah. Jets win 6 games this year? Okay.
Maybe, yeah. Now, it's a good class. I mean, obviously, you're going to look at the teams that have a lot of high picks.
Yeah.
Jacksonville and Miami and, you know, these teams have multiple early picks. I guess the Jets are as good as any. I think Wilson's going to have a tough year.
I do, too.
Yeah.
Mike Clay picked the Lions.
Okay. I mean, they're all big guys, though.
All big guys.
Right.
Sewell and Ozer Manrique and Lee McNeil. I don't know if those
– tackles and defensive tackles.
Are you going to notice if those guys are making a massive difference? Jeremy Fowler took the Falcons.
That's a – Kyle Pitts, I wonder what his – Rookie of the Year numbers are, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I know tight ends don't win it, but he could go
he's
crazy.
He's not really. I mean, he's a tight end, but he isn't.
Right.
You know,
I mean, he could have a 1,000-yard season.
Yeah. Seifert took the Dolphins.
That's what I was leaning towards, because I really like Jalen Phillips.
Seth Walter took the Chargers.
Not bad. Slater and Asante Samuel.
Yeah.
That doesn't jump out at me, though. They're not super high-profile positions either.
Yeah, and Yates took the Dolphins as well.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that. I mean, if Waddle's on SportsCenter all the time, catching long ones every other week, and, you know, I think they got a really good edge player in Phillips, some other pieces there too, some linemen that help. So, no, I think they did well.
The final question here, I believe this is the final question. No, there's a couple more here. The next question was, what was the most head-scratching pick of the draft?
Okay.
Bowen said Alex Leatherwood.
Yeah.
Mike Clay said Travis Etienne.
Maybe. I mean, in the first, it seemed like there was a lot of people interested in him, though.
Yeah. He's a weapon.
He's a weapon.
You know, if you took a receiver there, would anybody have said that's a head-scratching move?
Say you take Elijah Moore you know, a receiver
that's
you can even
I think that's how you kind of have
while.
To look at Etienne.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of have to look at him in that light. Like,
especially
okay.
when you already have Robinson.
Yeah.
And again, make your young quarterback's life easier. There's the whole they went to Clemson roommate theory. But, I mean, just short, easy passes to running backs are really quarterback-friendly.
Correct.
And again, brings back to the Steelers next year. You know, throwing short, easy passes to Najee and Freiermuth.
Yeah.
You know?
Fowler said Jamar Chase to the Bengals.
I think we kind of saw that coming, though. I mean, it was between two people.
Offensive line.
You
just watched your quarterback get killed.
Mm-hmm.
Seifert said Patrick Surtain the second to the Broncos at 9.
That one rings a bell. I mean, certainly feels like it to me because they're pretty good at corner. Fields was sitting there.
They could have taken a quarterback.
Right.
Yeah.
And I don't know that Carolina was going to take Fields. I mean, they have a better excuse not to. But I really think when we look back at this draft class, it's going to be the Fields narrative is going to be an interesting one.
It almost,
not taking him,
yeah, it almost
taking
seems
him.
To me that Denver put all its eggs in the basket. Well, we're going to trade for Aaron Rodgers at some point.
It sure feels that way, and I'm not sure that's done.
Yeah, I mean, you can't make that move not knowing. Like,
right.
You can't say, oh, we're going to punt this season. If we don't get Aaron Rodgers, then we'll just punt and we'll just take something. That to me is not – that's not a plan.
Teddy's not enough for me to do that.
No.
You know,
no.
You're reading all this stuff. Not that I believe any of it. Locke's a new man. He's working a lot hard. You know, we've heard all that stuff before. And maybe he does have a better, you know – career going forward than he does now. I mean, he doesn't deserve to be flushed down the toilet, but, man, I don't know how you pass on Justin Fields there.
Yeah. Walter took Surtain as well.
Okay.
And Yates went with Alex Leatherwood.
Yeah.
So we got a little consensus there that those are the two worst picks, Surtain and Leatherwood.
Yeah, Leatherwood.
And they were the two big head-scratchers. I mean, Surtain's a much better player than Leatherwood, though.
Oh, I mean, any team that had Surtain,
you could be happy with, okay, we took Patrick Surtain there. He was the best corner on the board. Okay, that's fine.
And everyone talks about, well, you know, some of these teams should trade back. And it's not always easy said and done. But in the first round, I'm sure somebody was calling Vegas. I mean, you could have moved down. I am certain that you could move down 3, 4, 5 spots and still get Leatherwood. I mean, the crime isn't necessarily, you know, falling in love with Leatherwood. I mean, he looks like a starting right tackle. I can see why teams love him, but I'm sure you could have been a little economical with that first round capital that you had.
Yeah, absolutely. You could have gotten him 20 picks later.
Probably. Yeah. I mean, let alone 5 and pick up a third round pick or whatever.
Who was your favorite pick of the draft? Bowen has Justin Fields.
Kind of goes back to what we're saying.
Yeah.
Especially with the Bears quarterback history.
Yeah. Wow. I think right now he's the best quarterback in their history.
He's the most talented.
Yeah, without a doubt. Right. Clay went with Fields as well.
Okay.
Fowler went with Rashawn Slater to the Chargers.
Boy, that just worked out perfect for them. You know, I would have been on pins and needles hoping he got to me. You know, try to maybe even trade up a couple spots and sit back and you get your guy. That worked out well.
Seifert went with Rashad Bateman to the Ravens.
I don't know about that. I like Bateman. Yeah. I mean, going into the draft, I would have said he probably is well worth that pick or earlier. I just don't know that he's going to change their passing game.
I don't know that he is either. You know what I mean, I keep seeing that the Ravens really helped their passing game. Maybe.
I mean,
but I don't. I think a veteran guy would have made. I mean, there's a reason why they were in the running for a bunch of different veterans.
Right. That was the better move, and they couldn't get it done.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, the other thing people don't talk about with their passing game a lot is. Not that I'm a coaching expert or anything, but it's not real sophisticated route concepts and things like that. I mean, it's a little bit easier on the defense schematically than people realize, too, which I guess is good for a rookie. And, you know, also can you know, when you have a bunch of rookie receivers and a young quarterback, that's why. You know? But, I mean, it's not going to be much more advanced, I'm sure.
Walter went with Christian Darrisaw to the Vikings.
I like that, too.
Yeah, that was – I mean, I that would have been the situation if Darrisaw makes it to 24.
Then you have a conversation.
Then the Steelers have a conversation. Okay, is it Harris or is it Darrisaw?
Yeah. And then they got Davis, the Ohio State guard. If you look at Minnesota, I think they're really interesting. And if Rodgers does leave, I think the Vikes have a chance to, you know, take that division over.
Yeah.
They've made 26 picks in the last 2 years. I mean, a lot of them are seventh-rounders last year, but you made 26 draft picks in 2 years. That's a half of a roster.
It's a lot of cheap labor, too.
A lot of cheap labor. Yeah. And, you know, I'm real big on yards per play. The Vikes D was, like, one of the worst in the league in yards per play, but the offense was one of the best. And they added a lot on defense, but they added two linemen on offense. I mean, that was the spot they needed. So I don't think the offense stumbles at all. I think it still remains quite strong. And I trust Zimmer and a bunch of young guys to make the defense better.
Yeah, and then the final one was Yates went with Slater as well. So I mean that one worked out really well for the Chargers.
Yeah.
I mean you get a potential starting left tackle.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of times we ended up mocking Darrisaw there.
Mm-hmm. You'd settle for that or whatever, right?
But they get the number two guy.
Yeah, I think that worked out really well for them. Like I always put if we were on Chargers Nation Radio. Boy, Slater's still there. Another pick falls. Slater's still there. Do you think they should move up? Would you go up your third to go get him? You know, like, and there he lands, and you match him with a really good center, Matt Filer. I mean, Philip Rivers has to be looking at them going, you didn't dress line for 12 years, and now you're going out and spending for this kid, you know?
Yeah, I got beat up like crazy, and, you know, now we're going to go out and spend on this kid's actually mobile.
And he can get out of the way. Right.
I'm a statue back there, and you didn't have anybody protect me.
A lot of people are really high on the Chargers this year. I've fallen into that trap too many times.
Yeah.
But it's a new coaching staff, and I trust the quarterback. Not that I didn't trust Rivers back in the day. But they're one of those teams, when expectations are high, let's see how they handle it.
Yeah, you know that's another one, kind of like Cleveland. They're the new darlings.
They're going to be on a lot of top 10 power ranks and things like that, or – you know, surefire wild card type of team. Maybe they can challenge the Chiefs. It's a little different when you're the hunted, though.
Yeah.
And that organization doesn't have a lot of great history of dealing with those type of things.
They do not, for sure. But that's going to do it for this segment of The Drive. Fine. So for my partner, Matt Williamson, for Jacob Recht here on site, keeping us on the air, I'm Dale Lally. We appreciate you listening to this edition of The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio.